The offseason rolls on. What are the Chiefs going to do as they start phase three of OTAs? We're going to see more players in the coming couple of days, as well as a special release we'll have for you tomorrow night. After the schedule comes out, we will be live here on this channel. I know a lot of you have been waiting for that. That's your opportunity. Today, we're going to get into what we might see. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for making us your first listen. Check out another Locked On show. One of the biggest. We are now the number three biggest network for sports podcasting in the world. There's plenty of shows to choose from. I'm sure there's another one that you will enjoy. This network is for your team every day, every platform, every way that we can think of, and we will come up with some new ones too. So check that out. Like, sub, and hit the bell over on YouTube and subscribe on the audio platforms. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, home of The Matrix, as well as NFL33.com. You can check those both out as we move forward in this offseason. It's getting kind of hectic.
It's getting very hectic. I think that it's a huge situation going on, and obviously the rookies are getting adjusted to the NFL game. My name is Chris Clark. You can find me at Chiefs Corner, as it says on the screen, KC Chiefs Corner. You can find me there. I'm really looking forward to talking and doing a live show tomorrow. I think that'll be a lot of fun to discuss the schedule and the release of that, and to get, you know, an idea as to where we kind of think that this team could lie. And obviously it's very, very preliminary because a lot to go before training, you know, before the season kicks off. And I think I saw 120 days. So yeah, nice. Something to watch there.
I mean, right now the Chargers have all their players healthy, so everything can change.
Yeah. Well, it's, I would expect that's going to change. It changes every year, doesn't it?
Yep.
Actually, it doesn't really change every year. It's always the Chargers are going to win the division, and then they have a bunch of injuries, and guess what? They're not going to win the division anymore.
It is a process.
People still think they're going to, but
right. But the first step forward for non-rookies starts here coming this week. Oh, I'm sorry, coming next week. So you start to think about where we're going, how they're going to get off the ground. And there's a number of players that came in, tried out, didn't get signed. We talked about Glazer, who was one of the signees yesterday. Not a whole lot. The UDFA class is really making up the bulk of the rest of the roster after everybody that was already under contract. There might still be a little bit of turnover. I believe they have 7 slots available right now. So there'll probably be some more signings here coming up, maybe after the first week of phase three, maybe beyond that, not sure. But there's a lot of question marks. And from the brief glimpse that we got and from the conversation we got from Andy Reid, there's a couple of things that I'm really looking forward to find out early and see how that can be built on as we move forward. What stood out to you off the top?
You know, I think there's a couple of things that stood out to me. I think that, you know, you look at Carl Loftus, and you're hearing the stuff you hear in camp is that he is everything that that they said he was. He is a high motor guy. They told him that he needed to slow down because he was going a little fast in drills. And I like that aspect. I think that that's going to be a good thing going forward. You know, you start looking at other players, and you know, Kennard, I think, is a guy that's going to really challenge for a position early on, and I think that that's going to play out over training camp. Obviously, OTAs is one thing, but there's no pads. There's not really anything that they're going to really glean from that to know whether or not he can be that guy, probably in OTAs. But you never know. Trey Smith, I think, was a starter basically by the time that training camp happened, so that's something to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a little bit to get going, but a lot of movement can be made right here in the next couple of weeks. I think we forget that sometimes.
Well, and it's a question of how quickly they pick up the playbooks. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is how quickly can you adapt to this NFL life, to understanding what you're supposed to be doing, lining up and doing what you're supposed to be doing every time. Obviously, it's going to be a big deal whether or not you can block if you're a lineman. you're not going to find that out until training camp. I mean, obviously, we think Kennard can block. That's not my point. My point is he lining up in the right spots? Is he going for the right person on running plays? Is he going for the right person on, you know, any different types of plays? Does he know his assignments? And that's really what it comes down to on all of it with all these rookies, is do they know their assignments? Are they doing things that the way that they should be done? Because that's how you get noticed by coaches, is getting that down early.
And there's not a lot going to change on the offense here in this next first phase, but he is probably the number one thing. Sky Moore still got the hamstring. I don't know that we see him in the next 2 weeks. It might not be till camp that they actually feel like they're going to take the brakes off and just let him run. So he may be the only new face that we see on offense.
Yeah, he could be. Well, Pacheco is going to be there as well, but
as a starter.
Sorry. I would say on Sky Moore, I would not be shocked if he is available for like the actual mini camp that they're going to have in June. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that he'll be starting in OTAs, so that would not shock me that he's not available for that, but I would expect he's probably going to be available by, I would hope he's available by mini camp, because mini camp I don't think is for another month. So if he's still having that hamstring issue in another month, that's a bigger issue, and that's something that needs to get addressed and figured out. So I think that's part of it. I do want to say really quick, I know you guys talked about it yesterday with the cuts and bringing back people and whatnot. I just want to say Austin Ryder, I wondered when they cut him because it really didn't make sense. It didn't look like they brought in anybody that was going to replace him. But if you look at the move, I think this is a type of move that Kansas City is going to make on a regular basis going forward with different guys. Ryder's a guy that they knew wasn't going to get signed elsewhere. So they could cut him, let him be for a couple of days, have that roster spot, have this mini camp, sign people, and release and bring back.
Yeah.
No harm done. And it doesn't cost them anything on the cap because they didn't give anything. At least I don't think they gave him anything extra, when they signed him originally. So he was just to his base salary at that point.
Yeah. When you're at his level, a low depth backup, that churn is to be expected. Same thing with Blake Bell. At the end of the day, that's the nature of where you are in your career. That's fine. Make a living. It's just something that's going to happen to you.
Well, the team's, I'm sure the team told him that what they were doing too. So,
yeah, it's definitely not a big deal. It's just business as usual. Mm-hmm. For Kennard, though, he's the one rookie on offense that we might see. And I don't want to blow past that because we need to see something from him because Luke Snyang is not ready. So when you get to phase three and you have the whole team there, yes, there'll be some other new starters, but they're already vets in the league. So MVS and Juju is not what I'm focused on right here. They will come along. It's the one rookie that might have to start for you right now. And I think it's going to be a bit of a battle between him and Wiley. And we might not see Kennard early, but like Trey Smith did last year, we might see him come on as the offseason, the OTAs in particular, move on.
Yep. And if he knows his assignments, he has a much better chance because I think that they like Andrew Wiley as a backup. I don't think that they want him to be the starter, but I think that they do like him as a backup and he's serviceable as a starter if you absolutely have to. But I think that the whole reason they went and got Kennard, and I'm guessing, at least based on the way things have worked out, they didn't expect Kennard to be there in the fifth round.
No.
That would be my guess.
He said they had very little contact before the draft, so it was a surprise to them, and they saw value, and they grabbed it.
Exactly. So at that point, it's a situation where you can improve your offensive line. You're going to do it if you can. If Kennard is going to be ready for the season, then he will start. But he's got to prove that he's got the playbook down and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm interested. You got to be part of the engine that drives the whole offense, and it's a little bit harder on that side than it is on defense that has more holes. So if you need parts, you got to get that engine running, and I know a place that you can go do that. It's called rockauto.com, and it gets more complex as time goes by. It's not the easy thing when you're driving a 10-year-old truck like me. Like, there's parts everywhere. Some of these new ones, it's really hard to get a hold of, and not everybody stocks everything. So the easiest way to get what you need is to go to Rock Auto, because you don't have to go to a store and just rely on what they have in stock and watch somebody else punch stuff into a computer to see where they can get it from. You can do that yourself, save yourself time and money, and maybe even up to 100% on the same parts, just because you're not sitting there waiting on someone else to do it. Rock Auto keeps everything stocked for you, and they have parts for every single make and model that you can think of. It's a family business. They've been doing it for 20 years, and they're trustworthy. They've earned that trust. The prices are reliably low for everyone. Doesn't matter what you do, if you're just a klutz like me with the truck, or if you're a semi-professional, you could be anything. But you got to go over there. They have everything from taillights all the way up to the front, capacitors that put out 1.21 gigawatts, whatever that is. There's a lot that goes into modern engines, and they have it all. So go check them out. It's over at rockauto.com. And all you got to do is throw in everything in your parts list and check out. It's super simple. They would ask you, if you would, in their how did you hear about us box to put Locked On. Let them know that we sent you over there. We would appreciate it. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car's ever going to need at rockauto.com.
1.21 gigawatts. We talked
about defense. Yes. Sorry. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Exactly.
But yeah.
That kind of fits for the defense, actually, if you think about it.
It kind of does. There's a lot going on there. And I just put something up on RGR that is worth the time, because the fit that they got in this rookie class is going to be compelling at a number of positions. You talked about Karlaftis before. I just did a piece on McDuffie that the fit, as you look at his actual production and usage in college, everyone likes to say that he's a zone corner, and he definitely is. But the guy only allowed 41% completion percentage in man last season as well. So, like, it's not the square peg round hole that a lot of people seem to think that it is. He can do it all. And I think that's going to be abundantly clear. He's one of the guys that I expect, he and Karlaftis both as first-round selections, to be in the starting lineup as soon as they get back on the field with the veterans in tow. I do not expect them to be sitting around. It is jumping the fire when you're a first-round pick, and I think that it's going to pay off pretty well. But the rest of that corner position is a lot of twisting around, and I don't know how it's going to go. Fenton is still out with a bit of an injury recovery, right? There's like 17 different corners that they brought in to try to compete. So for me, it's about Snead and McDuffie getting on the same page, being on the same field, and then they're going to rotate guys through. Is Lonnie Johnson ready to compete at corner? Do they try to stick him at safety, which I think is a complete mistake? The corner group in particular is one of the positions that I'll be watching all through OTAs, but particularly the first week or two.
I think it's going to be very intriguing to see what they do with that position, because you start looking at, you know, you have Snead, you have McDuffie, you have two starters there. You know, we've talked about Bradbury. I still don't think they're going to go out and get Bradbury, and it doesn't sound like anybody's really looking at signing him right now, which I think is interesting to begin with. But I do think it's probably going to be Lonnie Johnson's going to be that third guy, and it's mainly because who do you have? I mean, unless you're going to throw Boodle out there, who do you have that really has – that is sitting in a situation where they – well, I guess you could throw Baker in there. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But they don't seem to be very enamored with Baker with as much as he's played.
True, and I'm not sure why exactly that is. But he's definitely, I think, a guy that's on the bubble at this point, because Snead, Fenton, McDuffie, Johnson are definitely going to make this roster. I see a lot of people doubting Fenton. I have no doubt. I don't know that there's two – of the younger guys, they're going to bump him off this roster. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and I was one of the people that said, is it a question of whether or not he makes the roster? I'm not saying he's not going to. I'm just saying that his roster spot got a little bit more interesting considering all the rookies that they drafted and bringing in Lonnie Johnson. So I still think he does make the roster. But, you know, it's a little bit more of a question now than it would have been before. And you're right. I mean, they have Baker, but to me, they haven't really put Baker in a position where I think he's going to be a guy that they're going to rely on. So if they put him in as the starter, because Fenton's still out, okay, he's the starter for right now. Is he still that guy at the end of phase three? Is he still that guy in minicamp? I think Fenton's probably going to be out to almost training camp, would be my guess.
I didn't see a definite timeline on him.
Right. I didn't either, but they said that he was progressing and he just had shoulder surgery. So I would still think it's going to be a while. So the question is who do you put in that spot? If it's Johnson, that's very interesting. If it's Baker, okay, that makes the most sense. Boodle's the next guy that has the most experience on this roster behind Baker, right? So a lot of questions there. Where do the rookies come in?
Yeah, I think Joshua Williams definitely has the edge amongst the rookie class, including the UDFAs, certainly among the draft picks after McDuffie. But I do think it's also interesting that they played Snead in the nickel last year. They're letting McDuffie continue in the nickel here, at least in our first look. If they do that next week, then they have two viable options. They're two top corners, in my estimation, that they can put inside. And maybe that allows them to kind of play with it, determined by matchup or something like that, that you have two guys that you think can start on outside or at nickel. It allows you to be a little bit more multiple hybrid and keep teams on their toes, I think.
Well, and I think it also gives you the ability to put Snead in the nickel situation and be on slot receivers if you're going up against a guy that's like built like Juju, as opposed to a guy like Edelman that would be more McDuffie size and speed in that type of scenario. So I think that that gives them multiple scenarios that they can win in that. And I really like that. I think that's a great way to be. And I think that having that ability to move your corners around is going to be great for this team if they can do that.
And that's the direction I feel like they're going to end up going in, because I do feel like, especially if Fenton does not win that third spot and it is Lonnie Johnson, I think you want to give Johnson a sideline to help him. So at that point, I think one of Snead or McDuffie is going to alternate in there at nickel and just see what happens. And rarely would I say that I'm comfortable with that, because you generally want to give a guy, especially a rookie, a job and let him learn it and let him do it and not put too much on his plate. But that's what he is. That's what he's always been, is a guy that flip-flops and can do both and has done both. So in this rare instance, I don't think that it's going to be too much for him, even as a rookie.
Yeah, and I will say, sorry, the one thing I would say about all of that is I somewhat disagree with you about Karloftis starting right away. It wouldn't shock me if he does. I would think it would be a good thing. I know he was a first-round pick, but Kansas City had a second-round grade on him. They traded up to go get Trent McDuffie. They had a first-round grade on him. They expected him to start from day one. I think that they still probably want that from Karloftis, but it wouldn't shock me if he is not the first defensive end outside of Frank Clark that's there day one.
Yeah.
So I expect by
Dana because he's got experience and they can put him out there.
Well, it wouldn't shock me either direction. I do think that they want Karloftis there, and I think he'll be there by training camp, or at the very least by the time the season starts. But I'm not going to be shocked whether or not Karloftis is the guy from day one in, OTAs. And really, you want him to be there, and I get that. And if he's ready, I'm fine with it. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that he isn't the same type of talent in my eyes as McDuffie was, because McDuffie was a legitimate top corner that everybody was talking about as this is a top three corner in this class, or a lot of people were thinking he was a top three corner in this class. And that is a starter type position. And I think Karloftis is there as well, but we've also talked about the fact that he may end up, coming down inside, and maybe his role is going to be a little bit different this year, especially if they know Melvin Ingram's going to be there.
Yeah, I would think the opposite. I think until Melvin's in, and I don't expect Melvin to come in for even camp, really, give him as much experience as you can, and then you can reduce him if Melvin is going to be there, which, again, right. I do think is going to happen. But there's a lot that goes into it, and there's still some other question marks that I'm really interested to see who will step up. And there's one pair that I'm really intrigued to see together, a vet and a rookie. That's going to be fun here in the next phase of OTAs.
Before we get there, and I know you want to talk about your rookie and your vet pair that you want to talk about, if you were to go place a bet, you would be doing a bet online. And I will say this, if you had a chance to go make a bet on the Kentucky Derby this past week, you could have done that at our friends over at Bet Online. Then you look at all of these different things that you're able to bet on. It's just fantastic. Go check out Bet Online, our partners. They're the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NLF futures. BetOnline is your continued source for sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So it might just be me, but I'm going to tell Chiefs Kingdom about it anyway. A lot of people excited about Pacheco. I don't blame him. He's got returnability. I think that's probably where he makes his mark first. But he's also got breakaway speed, and he's a guy that runs the way that I like running backs to run, not necessarily trying to dip away from people, but run through people. I just wish he would aim for the shoulder, not the chest plate, because I think it makes it easier to tackle. But one thing that will make it harder for him to tackle is if he's running behind the other guy that played at Rutgers, and that's Mike Burton. So I am excited to see a power package with possibly a third tight end and Burton and Pacheco in there together and tearing faces off straight downhill. I know it's not something Andy wants to do in the season, but this is the spot to practice it, and I hope that we see that the first week of OTAs.
Why doesn't it shock me that you want to see something with a fullback in OTAs? I know.
They're both from Rutgers. It's perfect. Come on.
Yeah. I just don't know how much it's going to be used in the regular season. I think that they're going to be getting ready for things that they will be using in the regular season. I do think short yardage situations, you could see situations where that would make a lot of sense. I'm really curious to see where his role fits into this offense And we will see a little bit of that maybe in OTAs, but we're going to see a lot more of that in training camp and the preseason games. How does he rotate in? When does he come in? What type of scenarios do they use him in? Because all this is going to be a learning curve. One, a learning curve for him, but a learning curve for the team as well to figure out where he can best fit and if he has the ability to be on this roster. I think he can make this roster, and I like what you said about the return ability because I think that's going to be something they're going to be looking for. But they do have a couple of running backs in front of him right now.
They have a couple what?
They have a couple of running backs in front of him right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Gore's Clyde not going anywhere. And, Rojo you spent money on, and Clyde's a starter. It's that simple. For me, the guy that's really intriguing is Jerrion Ealy. I liked his film. And as a UDFA, he's certainly a guy that you just want to see if he can compete. But he can split out really well, too. It gives them another facet to his game. And so for me right now, I think three are on the roster no matter what. They like to keep four if they can. And so then that will become the question for me. Is it an Ealy type or is it a Pacheco type? Pacheco can get his reps in on the return game. He wins that battle. And I do like Ealy on the practice squad, by the way.
And if they're if they already know that they like Ealy and they're going to try to get him on the practice squad, expect him to not play much.
Yeah, in the preseason, that would be my guess for sure.
Yeah, unless it's just against fourth stringers, and then it's who really cares. But I would expect that that's another scenario where Ealy is a guy that they're probably going to be liking for the practice squad. Maybe it's Pacheco. I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out over OTAs, mini camp, and training camp. I'm really curious to see how all of these running backs run when you start getting into training camp and how they're hitting the holes and who's, hitting their assignments. And you're right, you have different guys that can do different things. The one thing I will say that always surprised me is that I thought Clyde, when he came out of college, was a very good receiving back. They've never really used him as such. And so it's a question of how are they going to use their other backs that they have that can do that as well.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by that. I'm also intrigued to see some of the other nuanced stuff. What we saw last weekend was that Leo Chanel was running as the Mike. That's fine. That's what he did in college. He was a Mike at Wisconsin. He should be the backup for Nick Bolton. So if Bolton has to miss a game or two, it will be Chanel at the Mike. That is beyond a shadow of a doubt for me because it's just too easy to plug him in there. He understands the position. He's played the position. He can make the calls. I have no problem with him learning the playbook. I expect it to be like that for him. The question becomes is, do they platoon him in OTAs just to see what he has at the position, or is it purely just a backup in case of? And how much do they run Sam? Being in the base and having three linebackers out there, I think, is something you can do in OTAs to get an estimation of what you can do in the regular season. But I still don't know that Andy Reid wants to do that much, or that Steve Spagnuolo specifically wants to do that much, because it doesn't reflect what they do in the regular season as much.
I guess my question when it comes to that scenario is I expect them to platoon him with Nick Bolton at times, and I expect that you're going to get into more specifically training camp, and he's going to come in and play with the ones for a couple of series. I don't think it's going to be a ton, but they're going to get him in there because they rotate. I mean, they do the same thing with offensive linemen. They rotate, get different guys in just to – get snaps, get a feel for everything being on that team. So I expect that to happen. And once you get to training camp, the thing about going with the Sam linebacker, I don't think that they've had a talent like they have right now at Sam linebacker since Steve Spagnuolo's been here. So I'm not saying that they're going to stay in the base a lot more, but it wouldn't shock me if they're in the base a little bit more than they have been in the past. And I think that there's things that Chanel can do that those other guys that they've had at that position haven't been able to do. So I think that that could play into how they're going to deploy their linebacking core this year.
Steve, if you're listening, I just have two words for you. Bear front. Just run the bear front. Attack everything. Hit everyone. Worry about coverage later.
And I still say that Chanel could be on the field in scenarios where you want to get after the quarterback.
Yep.
And only have two linebackers on the field. I mean, he has the ability to get downhill, and he hits the holes, and he is very instinctual, and that is something that is going to be a huge bonus at times during the season.
And that's something that, just for future reference, folks, that you want to watch when we're watching the 2023 prospects here in a year from now, et cetera. That's the thing that all the starting linebackers in Kansas City have in common now. Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, and now Elias Chenault, they're all good blitzers. And that's the point, so that you can bring five without having to have five down linemen on the field. And I think that's what's really unique about Chenault, because I think he's the best of the of those three in terms of chasing the quarterback. Particularly, he's not scared to go in the A-gaps. And that's something that you don't see Nick Bolton do very well, because he is the size thing affects him more than it does Chenault. So, like, I'm really intrigued to see what kind of blitz package we could see from Spags this year. I hope that he's in there in the back room mixing it up mad scientist style.
Well, Chenault has a little bit more weight behind him and size behind him than Bolton does, so I think that plays into it. But I like what you said, and you are able to bring people from the linebacker. I'm not saying they're going to get away from the corner blitz or the safety blitz at times. They're still going to do those things. That's a Steve Spagnuolo staple. He's going to do things like that at times. But maybe they start blitzing the linebacker position more than they blitz those corners and safeties. I think it puts them in a better position if they're able to kick the corners and safeties back more than blitzing them, because then you're having linebackers try to cover wide receivers, and that's generally not a good situation.
No, it ends up poorly in most cases.
Right.
But that's a quick look at what we're looking for from phase two of OTA. Phase three of OTA. Now, we did this today because tomorrow we have something special for you. The scheduled release is tomorrow, and we will be live tomorrow night during what will be the broadcast, but we'll have the games by then. So look for it right about 7:30 Central. We'll be live here on this channel to go over who the Chiefs' opponents will be in what order, what we like, what we don't like. I assume the Chiefs will have the toughest schedule in the league. Just that seems to be the way that it is since you went to back-to-back Super Bowls. So we will discuss that as well. Be here with us on YouTube live. You will hear the pod later, but if you would like to discuss and be in the live chat, be here on the YouTube channel. That is at Locked On Chiefs on YouTube. So that will do it for us today. Thank you for spending your time. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell over there. That's how you'll know when we are live. And we think everything is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing just what the order is of the AFC West opponents. That's probably the thing that I'm looking the most for. When did they see Russ? That's one of the things I'll be keyed in. And we'll be looking at all that tomorrow night. So we hope that you will join us. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you then.